What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepeakcalendarshow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Happy Friday, or is it? 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. Email is Pete at thepetecalendarshow.com. And apparently, we are now going to have another fight over the Speaker of the House.
I am rubbing my temples very, very hard right now.
Marjorie Taylor Greene has filed a motion to vacate the chair, the speaker. And do you know that the Republicans have, I think it's about a 2-seat majority is what they're left with? Because they just had somebody else, I forget who it was. Was it Ken Buck or was it Mike Rogers who just left? Yeah. So you're down to a 2-seat majority, 2 seats. And, you know, there's a chunk of these Republicans. You can call them rhinos. You can call them whatever you want. It doesn't matter to me what name you give them. They still hold the seat. And because they hold the seats that are in districts that went for Biden, they're very, very worried about doing stuff that's going to get them unelected. Again, you can say that that's not patriotic, that they stink because of that, and they're awful people, whatever. That does not change their incentives, right? So we are left then with a Republican majority that is a coalition, because that's how you get a majority. And you've got this coalition now of some Biden district Republican elected officials, elected congressmen, and they're not interested in fighting the fiscal fights that the House Freedom Caucus is interested in fighting, or other people inside the Republican coalition. They're not interested in, well, I was going to say, Marjorie, look, they're always look for the incentives, okay? Always look for the incentives. Marjorie Taylor Greene's incentive is to get exactly what she's getting right now, which is media coverage. That's her incentive structure. She's going to go down to the House floor. She's going to file the motion to vacate, and she's going to get all this coverage, and she's going to get YouTube video clips, and she's going to make the rounds on the talking head circuits. And it doesn't matter to her if we end up with a Democrat Speaker of the House with Hakeem Jeffries, because that's where this could go, just like it was a possibility last time. It's probably a greater possibility this time. So she actually benefits from that, as do a lot of the more, rigid firebomb throwers in the Republican coalition. They benefit from a Democrat Speaker of the House because they get to raise money off of that. They personally then get to rail against the Democrats controlling everything and the Democrats doing some bad stuff, which the Democrats would be able to do because they will have control of the trifecta now, right? They will have the Senate, and they have the presidency, and then they will have the House, and they will be able to do stuff in the final days of a Joe Biden presidency. That's what Marjorie Taylor Greene is incentivizing. Like, I don't see how, like, does this end up in a different way than the last time? Mike Johnson's going to emerge victorious? He's only going to lose Marjorie Taylor Greene's vote. That's it. Only one vote. And I guess she's doing this because of the spending bill that they just pushed through. Because some people say, let's shut the government down. Just shut it all down. Use it for border security. You know, try to leverage the fiscal fight for the border fight. Okay. Well, if that's the fight you want to have and you think you're going to win it, I guess we're going to do this again. I thought we didn't win it last time. took, what, 2 weeks, right? A couple dozen rounds of voting, half a dozen different potential candidates. But I'm sure this time it'll be different, and this time the minority of the Republican coalition will emerge victorious, that they will somehow or another get everybody to bow to them in the coalition. I'm sure that could happen. Look, I'm not weighing in on who's right, who's wrong. I'm just surveying the game board here, right? And the Democrats will remain united because, see, here's the thing. When those districts flip for, you know, when you get a district that voted for Biden and then a Republican wins it for Congress, that means that the Democrat who was in that district, who could win that district, has to be a moderate, because that's where obviously that district is, right? If they're going to vote for Biden for president, but they're going to vote for a Republican for Congress, then that's more of a moderate district. And so a Democrat is not going to, you're not going to have like a flaming commie, you know, like AOC coming out of that district. But what that means also is that if the Democrats are in the majority, they've won that district with a more moderate Democrat who then votes in lockstep with, you know, the radical left wing anyway. But the point there is that the Democrats don't have to deal with this right now because they're in the minority. And when you're in the minority, you have lost those swing districts. So you don't have the more moderate members to protect anymore. Right? You don't have to worry about them. Yeah, she's a freaking cancer, guys. I know people in this audience love Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she is a cancer. Her incentive structure is not good governance. It is not. And maybe I'm mistaken and I don't recognize where we are and she does. Okay, but that's fine. Agree to disagree. But in my view, like this is not good. Not good. But what do I know, right? Just a radio host.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. I don't always agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I do on her move to vacate House Speaker. Who is this? Michael O'Fallon from Sovereign Nations. Soon you will realize that establishment Republicans are not spineless. They are very determined to push the agenda forward that will dismantle the United States while at the same time wearing conservative masks. They are actors and in many cases much better at acting than their Democrat counterparts. Okay, well, no, that's fine. And then when Democrats take over control of all three branches and they ram all of this stuff through, they pack the Supreme Court in the months before Biden, I'm sure it's going to be fine. You will have shown everyone. You will prove that you are pure. You got a two-vote majority right now. You have two votes. Michael Graham, former talk show host here at WBT. Remember? You remember. Yeah, John Moore remembers him. He was here right before I got here. But I remember him being on the air here. He quotes Mencken. Quote, democracy is the theory. The common man knows what he wants and deserves to get it good and hard. Michael says, this is Republican voters getting just what they wanted. It is exactly what they deserve. Oh, and Candace Owens is, she's no longer affiliated with the Daily Wire. Wait a minute. Ronna McDaniel is going to MSNBC? Oh, for the love of me. What do I say? Actually, no, this is, okay, all right, okay. I always say don't break anything while I'm gone. So to be fair, all of this crap is breaking while I'm here. So this is, it is what I asked for. Dang it. Hoisted by my own petard. Jeez Louise. Oh, I see it is the ramifications of my own actions. Alrighty. MTG filed a motion to vacate, according to multiple sources. Okay, so this is all just developing. And the House just passed a $1.2 trillion spending bill, sending it over to the Senate hours before a shutdown. Sorry, I'm just trying to see if there's anything. Oh, my God, it is true. Ronna McDaniel is now signed on to be an MSNBC contributor. She will be a commentator on NBC and MSNBC programs. Oh, my gosh. She a rhino? I'm losing track. It's so very difficult to keep the scorecard clear here on who's a rhino, who's not a rhino, who's establishment, who's not establishment. All right. I'll start with now where I was going to start, which was the more than 100, we still calling them migrants, the 100 that busted through the gate crashers, as they were. I mean, that's what it looked like to me as one who has participated in a gate crashing. I mean, not at the border, although I guess it was kind of a border, like between the cheap seats and the field at RFK Stadium, so I could get down close to the stage ahead of the Bob Dylan and the Grateful Dead show. And it relies on, like, a lot of people just flooding the zone all at once, because they might could get one of us. And they did. They got me. But then when they put me back in the stands, I just jumped back down again, and then I made it past on the next round. It's like, they can get a couple. They can't get all. Right? And so that's what they did. These migrants, quote-unquote migrants, these unauthorized immigrants, these illegal aliens, or I know there's some people who don't like this term. It's being thrown around a bit now. Invaders. But I got to tell you, watch the video. They did seem to be kind of invady. They did. A little invady. I mean, they were like yelling and screaming. They were tearing down barriers, and they just like plowed over and, you know, knocked over a bunch of Texas National Guardsmen. But then it was weird because they ran up to another, like, stronger fence. If you haven't seen the video, there's, like, a whole bunch of this concertina wire, like the barbed wire stuff, and it's all, you know, in a line, and there are a bunch of guardsmen that are standing there, and the immigrants they've torn apart the concertina wire. They were wearing, like, gloves and stuff, and so they broke it apart, and now there's like this, I don't know, 20 to 30 foot wide gap in the wire. And that's where the guardsmen are standing. And you get, there's like, you know, more than 100 of these. They're all male, military age. And there's a reason for that, by the way. I'll tell you in a minute. But they were all masked there, and they're yelling and screaming. Some of them are putting their hands up like, oh, don't shoot, don't shoot. And then they just like plow across these guys. They just push them aside. And then they run forward, and that's when you realize, oh, there's like a permanent wall gate there, like heavy duty, like 30 feet high or something, or maybe 20 feet high. And there are more guardsmen on the other side of this gate. And so the migrants run up to the gate, and they're banging on it and whatever. And Like, did you not see the other gate? What's the point of ripping through the barbed wire and then running up to this other gate? I guess they're technically now on U.S. soil. Is that how that works? By the way, the reason why it was all just a bunch of dudes is because they had already separated out the women and children from the men. That's why they were all men there. But there was video of it. And here's the takeaway for me. Well, hang on. I'm late for news. I will tell you my takeaway. All right. Well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code word Pete and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC, and NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. A group of more than 100 migrants attempted to enter the U.S. illegally by rushing a border wall Thursday. I mean, it was a concertina wire. Then they did get up to they got up to a wall after that. They broke through razor wire, knocked over guards in the process. The New York Post had earlier witnessed around 600 migrants amassed at the international border as part of a spring surge of migrants arriving and hoping to gain access to the U.S. Gosh, I hope so. Man, you never know. Here's my takeaway. It is proof that what we, you know, have always known, but a lot of people have been able to deny and ignore, which is that the border invasion is in fact violent. It is, and it always has been, by the way. It always has been. Because the only reason that it has not appeared to be violent is because Joe Biden has kept the doors open to allow people to walk in and get processed. But make no mistake, if the door was not being held open for them, right, they would rush the gates as they did, right? The Texas National Guard were attempting to organize them into smaller groups, but the situation grew tense after some women and children were separated from adult males by the guardsmen. Video taken by the New York Post showed one set of migrants, mostly single men, then rushing the Texas troops. A group of men with hoodies, gloves, and winter jackets are seen pulling fencing away and dashing through the concertina wire as a group of five guards formed a defensive position to fill the gap. The group then scrambled to the border gate and started to shout at guardsmen on the other side, quote, "We have women and children. We are hungry." The Post heard one male migrant scream, even though most of the children were in another group. That was actually being prepared for processing to be let into the country. So even when they get the access, they're still angry. Anyway, a source told the Post the rowdy group who had amassed in the area known as Gate 36, located next to the highway in El Paso, Texas, they were pushed back to Mexico. However, some were arrested and the rest of the people in the group were brought into the U.S. for processing. Border Patrol agent Orlando Marrero told the local KFOX 14 news station, quote, "The migrants that we encountered here today at Gate 36 will be taken into a processing center." Fox News reporter Bill Malugin later wrote on Twitter that there had been one arrest for assaulting a soldier and more charges related to destruction of property and assault were likely. Despite the commotion, the city of El Paso's migrant dashboard showed 743 people had been released from custody and into the U.S. on Thursday. They were either released on parole or to pursue asylum claims in accordance with President Biden's current policies. Which is, by the way, this is what Joe Biden promised. It is. This was, well, here, let me go ahead and pull up the audio here.
I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
This is what he said. This was when he was running for president first time around.
Right? I would, in fact, make sure that there is, we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
We're a nation that says if you are fleeing, you should come. And so they should surge the border. He told him to do it when he ran for president in 2020, standing on that stage with Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. Presidential debate, Democratic debate. And then there's this. Immigration judges dismissed deportation cases against some 200,000 migrants under President Biden because the Homeland Security failed to file the required paperwork before their court dates. 200,000. So as Brett Winterbull, the afternoon host here from 3 to 7 on WBT, would point out, this is the system failed, right? The system failed. Nobody can be held accountable for this. Department of Homeland Security's failure to file thousands of notices to appear before scheduled hearing dates left courts without jurisdiction to handle deportation cases and rule on asylum claims. This is according to the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, or the TRAC, or as I like to call it, the track, at Syracuse. These large numbers of dismissals and what then happens raise serious concerns, according to the track report. The nonpartisan research organization called it troubling that there was an almost total lack of transparency on where and why these DHS failures occurred. Equally troubling, the lack of solid information on what happened to the many, 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 many immigrants, when Homeland Security never rectified its failure by reissuing and filing new notices to appear, which would then restart all of these people's cases. But they didn't do that. Okay, so now what? Right? When somebody comes in and they claim asylum, they are assigned a hearing date. And we've heard these stories, too, that the hearing dates are, you know, 6 years down the road or some ridiculous amount of time. And at that point, then, they are offered the opportunity to explain to an immigration judge why they should not be deported. But the notice to appear, or the NTA, also has to be filed with the court where the individual is told to appear. And that has not occurred. In 6 years, from 2014 to 2020, less than 1% of deportation cases got dismissed because these notices to appear were not filed with the courts, right? Less than 1%. In Biden's first 3 years in office, that number is now 8.4%. Right. So, okay, so maybe not the system failed. How about Biden's system failed? That's what it seems like to me. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. If you want to join the program, 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. Either one of those phone numbers. You can also send me a message, pete@thepetecallinershow.com, or hit me up on Twitter, @PeteCalliner. Got a message here on Twitter from Russ, who says, the system failed again? Oh, my. I recently saw a tweet that said the system is whatever it produces, not what it proclaims to be. That is true. Regarding Marjorie Taylor Greene and Ronna McDaniel, Democrat policies are why I became a Republican. Republican politicians are why I became an independent. Mm-hmm. And then, well, here, let me... I'll go over to this Russ. Hello, Russ. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Hi, Pete.
Hey.
You said the system failed. No, that system is working like a Japanese wristwatch.
Well, no, yes, I mean, if that's the point, right.
If you want the conspiracy theory to go along with this, they're letting all of these people in. Chaos, mayhem ensues, and you have to have a strong man arise to restore law and order.
Right.
Of course, before you do that, you have to suspend the Constitution.
Well, and that strong man shall be Donald Trump.
No, I don't think.
Oh,
he is.
Wait a minute. Well, so because, that's a, what's funny because, here, Russ, is that that's the conspiracy theory that the left is promulgating.
And of course, under Saul Alinsky's rules, always blame or always accuse the others of doing what you're doing yourself.
Right. So how do you know which one's the real strongman?
You don't yet. He ain't around yet. He's right. Coming.
Yeah. Right.
And
so
he's unfortunately he is a strongman of the left persuasion.
We shall see. The Cloward Piven model, right? It's to overload the system and break it, and then your normies and the elites will then cave in to all the demands of the communists, of the Marxists, in order to make the chaos and the violence stop, right?
And that's, of course, the other side. The proletariat, all they want is order. They want stability. And so you have to get the stability in order for the proletariat to be at least appeased. Maybe not happy, but appeased.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm more of a Gramscian on this than the class warfare Marxist on it, which is, like, I don't think, and Russ, I appreciate the call. I don't think that the class warfare, the proletariat stuff, I don't think that is as persuasive of a model. I think that, and this is what Gramsci talked about as well, talked about the cultural institutions, cultural Marxism, because especially in a country like America where people who are, quote, working class can move out of their station. They can, people move in and out of economic classes. So the mobility that a capitalist system affords us weakens that the attractiveness of that appeal, of that argument that the Marxists use. So you do it through the culture, right? You seize control of the cultural institutions, and you push down to the masses the culture that you want them to adopt and adhere to. And that's why you get the cultural messaging coming from schools and Hollywood, media. They control all of these. And so when you control the messaging and you control the culture, then you push down, like, what is acceptable? What are norms? How do people live their lives? We're going to tell you, we're going to show you, and all of that. I got a message here from Alan regarding the motion to vacate, who asks, what else do we do? Just let that, hang on. What else do we do? Just let them keep running the country into the ground? Albeit at a slightly slower pace, at some point the benefits of politics need to kick in and perhaps avoid what becoming more inevitable with every $1 trillion spending bill. All right. No, look, there's a group of people that think you have to burn it all down to save it. I am not one of them. I fully acknowledge it. I'm not one of them. There are people that believe we are at a point of no return, so we're going to have to just torch the whole thing and give Democrats all the power, let them run as far left as quickly as possible and put us all into chains, and then people will rise up in revolt. I would prefer not to go through all of that and try to stop it from occurring. So, yes, slower pace for me, please. Slower pace, because there's more chance to get off at an exit ramp. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.